Jane. It's time for our monthly kōrero with the National Party. Usually we have a catch-up with Minister Paul Goldsmith, but he's on personal leave at the moment, so we're lucky enough to be joined by Minister Mark Mitchell on the line. Morena.
Hey, good morning, ladies. How are you this morning?
Morena. Yeah, really good, thank you. How are you, Minister?
Yeah, no, good, thank you. It's a beautiful day in Auckland today, lovely sunrise.
Yes, yes, definitely. And a big old week for Parliament. I mean, every week's a big week for you guys, but the visit from Modi, of course, over from India,
yes,
that really took the country by storm.
That was fantastic, for the whole country, but of course our Indian diaspora just loved it. Turned out en masse to see him. He's a very special man. He's obviously a very significant world leader at the moment.
And 40 years since we had a visit from an Indian leader or
yes,
Prime Minister.
Yes, so that was hugely significant for us, plus the free trade agreement. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we're a small trading nation, a very good trading nation down the bottom of the world, but having these free trade agreements is so critically important for our economy, for creating jobs, for creating opportunities, for driving us towards being a high-wage economy.
It does seem as though there was a little bit of, variation in terms of Modi's reception. There were some protests, I'm aware, upon one of his last events here. Are you confident that New Zealanders are united in how they view the free trade agreement and our relationship with India?
Oh, in my experience, you're never going to get full consensus on a free trade agreement. I remember I'd just come into Parliament when we were doing the China free trade agreement, which has been extremely successful for us as a country, and there was groups there that opposed it. What seems to happen is that the free trade agreement goes through, it gets operationalised, everyone sees how successful it is, and all those people that were making all the noise and protesting it sort of get forgotten about and disappear.
Noticeably absent from Modi's visit was Minister Winston Peters, our foreign minister, who's been pretty vocal about New Zealand First policies moving forward in regards to immigration. Are you confident that the coalition is a united front when it comes to this?
Yeah, absolutely. I've really enjoyed working inside this coalition government. I think it's been a very good government for us. We inherited some real headwinds, and we've remained very focused on doing what we need to do to get us moving in the right direction. It's not unusual for, in fact, I don't think the Foreign Minister has ever been with the Prime Minister when they're doing their respective visits. This was a leader-to-leader visit, there was no expectations, nor would you expect the Foreign Minister to be there for that.
It wasn't at all a priority, though, in regards to the free trade agreement for Winston Peters to be present?
No, absolutely not. I don't think that this was a leader-to-leader visit. So a lot of the heavy lifting and the real work that's been done at the ministerial level has been done by Todd McClay as our trade minister, and Todd was there for the visit.
I would like to touch on now, a big news story this week so far and sort of ongoing is hearing a lot of the submissions on the Summary Offences Amendment Bill or the Move On Orders Bill, which people might be more familiar with it as. It seems as though the majority of the submissions that we've heard so far are in opposition to the bill, people worrying that we're going to criminalise homelessness, worrying about our most vulnerable people, children as young as 14 at risk of being moved on with nowhere to go. Is the government going to listen to New Zealanders' concerns?
Well, I think we'd all agree that 14-year-olds shouldn't be living on the street. It's dangerous. So, rough sleepers have been a problem in our country for decades. I remember as a young police officer on the beat in the Auckland CBD and having lots of rough sleepers there. The evidence shows that they're at risk themselves. They get exploited and used by drug dealers to shift drugs out on the street, and of course there's all the antisocial behaviour that's often associated with rough sleepers and people that are living on the street. So when you talk about homelessness, we should be making sure that everyone has got a home that they can go to and that they can sleep in.
And the government is doing enough to make sure of that?
Yeah, absolutely. We're pouring millions of dollars into ensuring that there are spaces available, that there is accommodation available. A lot of these rough sleepers, they choose. It might sound unusual, but they come together in a community. It's a lifestyle choice for them. They want to be out on the street, and we're saying no more. And look, I acknowledge and I respect the social agencies. I spent time with the City Mission a few weeks ago to get their feedback. But they've been doing great work for a long time, but they've never been able to solve this problem. So this is a new tool that we're going to use to make sure that people have to engage, because many of them don't trust central government or local government or agencies, and I understand that, but we have to get them to engage so that we can get them off the streets so that they're safe and we're not dealing with the social issues surrounding it.
Minister, is it really fair, though, to imply that, you know, a large portion of these people who are doing it really tough, while a lot of New Zealanders are doing it tough, you know, we know what the economy is looking like at the moment, that this is a choice for lots of people?
Yes, but we've got one of the best safety nets in the world. We've got one of the most generous social systems in the world. And the fact of the matter is that none of the social agencies have got an answer when I say to them, for all the great work that you've done, you've never been able to solve this problem. We've still got these people that choose to come out and live on the street. They're a danger to themselves. We had one of our rough sleepers that was stabbed down in Christchurch about 6 weeks ago. We had St. John's that come to me through my stakeholder groups that keeps reinforcing the fact that they can't be on the street because they're actually, not only do they create the social issues, not only are they victimised and targeted by drug dealers, but they're also in danger themselves.
Sure, yeah.
So we've got to do something, and nothing's worked before. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Sure, but I guess a lot of the sentiment of the concerns in terms of submissions against the bill is that we're not actually doing anything to take these people off the streets. We're just sort of kicking the can further down the road and moving them along to a different spot.
No, that's not true. And the social agencies themselves try to get these people off the streets, and they're not successful.
But the social agencies are the ones submitting against the bill.
Yes, I know, but I keep having this argument with them and saying to them, look, you do great work, there's no denying that, and you're impactful, but you have never been able to solve this problem.
I'm just curious.
It's been around for decades, and so what we need is an additional tool that actually will mean that these people have to engage with services, and there's an incumbency upon the government that if you're going to use a move-on order, that the government actually looks into the circumstances of that person and that they do everything that they can to get them into safe accommodation if that's what they need. So many of the rough sleepers have got safe accommodation to go to. In fact, often the police officers and the police know where their accommodation is, and they'll actually get them, pick them up and take them back to the accommodation. But there is a group that refuse to engage with agencies that decide that they're going to stay on the street, and it's not good.
When you had a chat with the City Mission, what were their opinions?
So they would like to see, and this is something that I'd like, we can look at with the bill, a requirement to engage. So if there is a move-on order that is used, then there is also, sitting alongside of that, is a requirement to engage from central government agencies to ensure that actually we're identifying and providing the support that's required. Bearing in mind that these cases are very complex, there's often mental health issues and addiction issues sitting alongside them. But many of the people that choose to rough sleep or live on the streets just don't want to engage with central government agencies.
It's quite a broad generalisation, isn't it, of the rough sleepers of this country?
Well, what do you mean by that?
To say that a large portion of them are choosing to live that way, and there's a huge amount of factors involved in terms of what leads people to living like that?
Yes, but that's just fact, that they choose to come out as a community and live rough on the streets. Many of them have got other alternatives to go and places to go to sleep and stay, but they're making that choice to come out on the streets. Some won't. Some will have genuine homelessness issues, or they'll have unsafe accommodation issues. Those have to be looked at and addressed without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Looking at more sort of submissions and input from different organisations, Auckland Council has said that they'd like the government to remove the rough sleeping clause from the Move On Orders Bill. Is this something that the government is at all considering?
Well, it's in front of the Select Committee now. It's Paul Goldsmith's legislation. But I would expect, as with any of our legislation, that all submissions are taken seriously and looked at to see how they can strengthen and improve the bill. Because ultimately, we're all driven by the same thing, and that is to not have people living on the street. It's dangerous for them. It's dangerous for others. It creates lots of social issues. I don't think anyone in this country wants to see people living on the street.
Let's say there is a requirement to engage. Do we have the facilities for them to engage with?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said to you, there's been an enormous amount of investment put into housing and housing places for people. There's been a real success story in the amount of kids that are now out of emergency houses living in motels and and you know, under the influence and the intimidation of gang members that were often present. So yes, we're moving in the right direction. There's more work to be done, without a doubt, and this is just another tool to be able to ensure that we don't have people living on the streets.
Mm-hmm. You know, in regards to this, you're the Minister for Police as well. I want to talk about whether our police are actually equipped to be dealing with some of our most vulnerable people on this sort of scale, because I know that, you know, under the Official Information Act, we had a lot of documentation released about police response to the bill. Quite a lot of concern issued there. Are you confident that the police really, you know, have the capabilities and the capacity to deal with this sort of scale of an issue?
Well, police are having to deal with it right now, every day for decades. So, you know, I went out on the beat with Wellington Police last year. They hold the keys to some of the accommodation for some of the rough sleepers there, because at the end of the day, they make sure they get them back safely to where they live. So the police are having to deal with these people all the time on a constant, ongoing basis. And they try to do that with a great deal of humanity and empathy, but they also have to make sure that the public feels safe.
Mm-hmm. And so are we going to extend or expand the actual support available to police in terms of resourcing and funding in order to keep up with this demand?
No, there's been no evidence or nothing brought forward that there's a requirement that's going to, that this is quite simply a policing function now, and it's already, will already be a draw on police resources and having to deal with the antisocial behaviour and all the issues associated with rough sleepers.
Mm. Finally, has the government been listening to the concerns of the police? Because I know that there's been quite a lot of feedback coming out from representatives from the police saying that, you know, not distinguishing between general or and aggressive or threatening begging or rough sleeping behaviour essentially criminalises homelessness, which is something the government has disputed, this claim that we're criminalising homelessness. But are you listening to what the police are saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a police minister, so I listen very closely to what police say, and police have had to deal with rough sleepers for a long time. It's a big draw on resources. They don't really have the tools to be able to make a meaningful intervention unless the rough sleeper actually commits a criminal offence. They don't want to. Often these people need addiction services or mental health services. There's nothing at the moment that allows the police to be able to compel them to do that or engage. The move on orders will help, and actually if we get a requirement to engage sitting alongside it, will help get these people engaged with the support services and the help that they need to get them off the street.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Minister Mark
Thanks,
Mitchell.
Ladies.
Really appreciate you having a chat with us.
Appreciate it. You're
Bye.
Welcome.